So Rav said, let's first finish up the sugya inside. I always like to start with the Gemara itself. So we're on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, towards the top. And we're trying to figure out the exact scenario of the Braisa in which he's chayav for Gneva and he's chayav Misa for Hotzah. And the case of the Braisa is Gonev Kis B'Shabbos. He's chayav for gneva the minute he achieves this kinyan gneva, and when he puts it into Rishus HaRabim, he's going to be chayav for Meleches Hotzah. He's going to be chayav skila for violating the Shabbos, and he's going to be. And the question is whether we can apply the principle of Kimei the Rabbi when he already was chayav as a ganav before the kiss that he stole was placed down in Rishus HaRabim, and he was chayev skila. So if you recall, the Gemara tries to work out scenarios in which he could be chayev both for Gneva and for Misa, and yet there's no Kimlev the Rabbin, because the Braisa says he has to pay for the Gneva. And the last thing that we mentioned was Ben Azai. Ben Azai holds that Mahalech Ka'ome Domi, and therefore the original Akira when he picked up the kiss is completely batel. Okay, again, I'm not going to go into all the details right now because we discussed it yesterday and it's not necessary for today. And the Gemara says that we have a problem called Liflog V'Lisne B'Dido. The Braisa in the Sefer quotes a case where we do apply Kimlev Ram, and he's part of Gneva, and that's the case of what? Of Gorer V'Yotze. So why did the Braisa have to stretch its arm out to the case of Gorer V'Yotze? Why didn't the Gemara give the example of Zrika? Because even according to Ben Azai, in the case of Zrika, there's no cessation or termination of his Akira. Hence, we're going to apply the principle of Akira Tzorech Hanocha. So as soon as he throws the kiss, he would be already chayv misa, not really chayv misa, but he's already set into motion a process that will culminate with a chayv misa. And once he starts that chayv misa, it's a trilas chayv misa, then we apply the principle of kim lev nari. So why did the Braisa have to stretch its arm out to a case of magar v'yotze? Why not give us a case of zrika? And the Gemara says that the chiddush of magar v'yotze was a chiddush in Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Hotzah. Namely, we would have thought it's lav urche b'hachi. This is not the normal way that you take something out of one rishus by dragging it and bringing it into another rishus. And the Gemara says that the habmina was ein derech hotzah b'kach. You wouldn't be chayv skila. We were wondering whether the ein derech hotzah b'kach is a general halacha that applies in all malachos, like we spoke about ksiva b'diad smol. Or specifically in Hotzah, there was a compelling reason to push for Ein Derech Hotzah B'kach. Then the Gemara goes through all discussion. It depends what the size of the pocketbook was. Is it so heavy and so large that he has to drag it? Or is it a smaller pocketbook? And the Gemara finally concludes that it's a middle-sized pocketbook, right? It's not Mama Bear, it's not Baby Bear, It's not Papa Bear, it's not Baby Bear, it's Mama Bear. Mama Bear is like in the middle, okay? So that's the Mama's pocketbook. Okay. So what we're up to is the Afke Lehecha. That's more or less the last thing that we discussed yesterday in terms of the Gemara itself. The Afke Lehecha. So this would be approximately 10 lines down from the top of Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. And the first word in the line is B'mitzieh. Mitzvah means the middle-sized pocket. Now the Gemara asks, Udi afke lehecha, where exactly did the ganav put down the pocketbook? In other words, when he was gorer, to what location was he gorer? And the Gemara now assumes that with regard to a chiv gneva, which means kinyoni gneva, in the case where the ganav did not lift the object, there was no hagbah, there was only grera, he would not be able to effectuate a kinyan gneva. So that's the Gemara says, idi afke lushus harabim, if he drags out the pocketbook and puts it down in Rishus HaRabim, then okay, Isur Shabbos Ika, it's very clear that he now has violated a Meleches Shabbos, because again we're talking about Metziah. Metziah means that it's an average size pocketbook, and therefore there's no Ein Darko V'kach. But Isur Gneva Leka, we're talking about a case where he has to be Chayev for Gneva. How can he be Chayev for Gneva when he didn't do a Kinyan Akbar? And not only that, even though you might argue that he was kona with Meshicha, but we have a rule, and that's going to be machlokas later on in the Gemara here on this daf, but according to one day that's Rav Acha, there's no such thing as a kinyan Meshicha in Rishus HaRab. In other words, Meshicha is a different kinyan than Agbah. Agbah itself means when you have the object in your hands, that's a kind of a control over the object. That's Afganas Bailus. Then you've indicated that you've taken it for yourself, right? Wall State Insurance, remember, it's in your hands. And that's going to apply in the case of Agbah. But here, the Braisa in the Sefer is talking about a case of Megara V'Yotze. So Megara V'Yotze, could, at best, it could be a Kinyan Meshicha. But if it's a Kinyan Meshicha, then there's no such thing as a Kinyan Meshicha according to Rav Acha, which again is Gemara we're going to get to soon, in Rishus HaRab. There's no such thing as Meshicha, because again, Meshicha doesn't really indicate or demonstrate my ownership over it. When I take it into my personal Rishus, then I have control or dominion over the object. That constitutes a Maisa Kinyan. A Maisa Kinyan has to demonstrate that it's mine. So in the case of Agbah, I've got the object, you know, in my hands, I'm grabbing onto it, it's mine. But in the case where I'm dragging it, I have to drag it into my own Rishus, according to Rav Acha, in order to be Kone. So the Gemara says, the Afke Lishus HaYochid, in order for him to achieve his Chi of Gneva, and a Kenyan Gneva, we're going to have to assume that he dragged it into his own personal Rishus, his private domain. Fine. So imagine the scenario. There are two neighbors that have one common border, and one neighbor goes into his friend's, I don't know if you can call his friend, but he goes into his neighbor's chutz and he steals something and he drags it out into his own chutz there. So now the Gemara says, you've done the exact opposite for me. In the case where he dragged it out into Rishus HaRabim, you achieved a Chiyuv Shabbos, Melechus Hotzah, but you dropped the ball on a Chiyuv Gneva because there's no Kinyan Meshicha Rishus HaRabim. Now you've told me that he dragged it into his own private Chatzer. Well, you've gained the Iser Gneva. In other words, he's Chai for Gneva because Meshicha into Rishus HaYochid is a Kinyan. And that we're fine with, but Isur Shabbos Leka. But now you've taken it from one Rishus HaYochid into another Rishus HaYochid. That's not a chiyuv from Meleches Hotzah. Lo Tzricha, well, what's the case of the Braisa? Is the Afke Litzide Rishus HaRabim. So there's a place which is on the side of Rishus HaRabim. In other words, you have the main gutter or alleyway, you know, the highway, that's where people go up and down. But there are side places where you could go off the main drag, so to speak. And we might view this as an extension of Rishus HaRabim. And now the Gemara is trying to establish a what the psychiatrists call it, a schizophrenia of sorts, right? What does it mean that in Hilchas Kinyanim this is called Rishus HaYochid, but in Hilchas Shabbos it's called Rishus HaRab, so that we can have an overlap in which he's Chayv for Gneva with a Kinyan and he's Chayv for Shabbos because he takes it out into Rishus HaRab.
Well, that
so that's going to be the next sugya that we're about to embark upon. How do we view and define Sidi Rishus HaRab? But I just wanted to give you the conceptual goal here, or agenda of the Gemara. Conceptually, what the Gemara is trying to find is a case where he's being Megar V'Yotze, he hasn't implemented a Kinyan Hagbah, so we need, therefore, in order to be Chayev for Gneva, a Kinyan Meshicha, but Meshicha requires that he take it out into Rishus HaYochid, and at the same time, he's chayav for Shabbos, but he can only be chayav for Shabbos if he takes it out to Rishus HaRav. So we're looking for an area which in Hilchas Kinyanim is considered Rishus HaYochid, but in Hilchas Shabbos is considered a Rishus HaRav. And that's going to be considered Sidei Rishus HaRav. So it means that what happens is, let's say you have private homes that border on Rishus HaRav. What happens is that people, they don't want the Holchei Aravim to come too close to the house. I'm not talking about privacy here, but simply because in the old days when they traveled through Rishus HaRavim, they had their wagons and all their merchandise, and it could somehow damage their Rishus HaRavim. So what they did was, and you'll see it even, I'm sorry, their house, and you'll see it even today. You can see it here up the block. What they do is they put pegs. I don't know if you have a better word than pegs. I don't know, there's probably a better word. Pillars?
Amudim.
And they put these amudim, and those amudim will in a sense cut off some of the Rishus HaRav, so that people
keep you far further away.
Exactly. Like stay off the grass kind of thing. In other words, they won't be able to take their agalot all the way smack up to the facade of their private home. So they're marchik the rabbim, but the rabbim, number one, have rights to go in there, and number two, if they have to do something private, for example, they can wiggle in between the amudim, as you call them, the pegs. So it does serve the rabbim, even though it's a little bit inconvenient, right? Because they're gonna have to wiggle their way in between these pegs. And now the Gemara quotes the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. What is the status of Tzidei Rishus HaRav? Kiman. We're going to have a Machlokas Tanoim about the status of Tzidei Rishus HaRavim and which of the two Tanoim is reflected in our Braisa. That on the one hand, there is a chiyuv for gneva, meaning a kinyan gneva, and on the other hand, there's a chiyuv for Shabbos, meaning kinyan gneva works and operates because it's rishus hayochid. But at the same time, as far as Shabbos is concerned, it's rishus harav. So Gemara says lechora, it doesn't work out according to anyone. You still haven't convinced me of this schizophrenia. Why? Because we have machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, and that machlokas is an extreme machlokas. It's min hakotzer lakotzer. Ikar Rabbi Eliezer, the Omer Tzidei Rishus HaRavim Kirshus HaRavim Domi. Rabbi Eliezer equates Tzidei Rishus HaRavim completely and totally with Rishus HaRavim. It has a full-fledged status of Rishus HaRavim for all dinim.
Is it, and just on the Mitzvahs, is it actually Rishus HaRavim that people put these chafatim, these beams, these whatever you amudim, in the Rishus HaRavim on
right.
the edges, and they stole from the width of Rishus HaRavim?
Right. Right.
Or the,
so
the,
it really,
the Shayachay, next to Rishus HaRavim.
It really is Rishus HaRavim, technically, and that's Rabbi Lez's point. Now, legally, the Rabbim have a right to go in there, but it's a little bit private to some extent. Why? Because most people find it uncomfortable to use it. So from the perspective of Bailus, it's really the Bailus of the Rabbim. You know, you might ask a question, did the owners of these homes confiscate or did they have legal rights to put up these amudim?
Are they taxed?
For tax laws and so forth.
Well, I think there's two questions. One, why don't they have the right to put something? Because it's almost like they're putting things that could hurt people in Rishus HaRavim.
So the Chachamim gave them Rishus to do this in order to protect their private property. It's like if you ever learned Bava Kamma, you have the case of the Rabbim that they allowed the private homes during the winter months, the Mosak Shamim, to use the Rishus HaRavim for their own personal usage. And what they can do is they can create gutters that will bring all the refuse, you know, the extra rains and so forth, out into Rishus HaRavim. And therefore they're not chayv for Nezikin once the Chachamim gave them Rishus to use the Rishus HaRavim, because then we shift the obligation of Shmira over to the Rabbim. Because they now have to understand that people are using that area for putting out their sewerage or their waters. And here also, Rabbi Eliezer says the following. On the one hand, the Chacham are going to allow for self-protection that the owners of the homes could put out these poles and these pegs and so forth and so on. But on the other hand, they have no right to claim ownership over that part of Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the status of Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is identical with Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because of the ownership of the Rabim. This could have an afkamina l'gabei sukkah, for example, because I don't know what's the halacha of a sukkah. If you build a sukkah in Rishus HaRabim, according to Rabbi Eliezer, maybe it wouldn't be legal to put the sukkah there because it belongs to the Rabim. So let's just hold on for a minute, I want to get the technicalities down here, just to get the structure or the shakla, the flow of the Gemara. So again, the Gemara says the following: Rabbi Eliezer identifies Tzidei Rishus HaRabim as what? As Rishus HaRabim. In fact, the Gemara, once again, we're in the dark here with this price. Why? Because he's a Shabbos Ika. He took the kiss out of Rishus HaYachid in the Rishus Bailam and he placed it down in Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, which is Rishus HaRabim, and therefore he's Chayav for Shabbos. But on the other hand, Iser Gneva Leka, that's Meshicha into Rishus HaRabim, is not Kone. Oh, right? And he didn't do a Hagbah in this case. He was Gorer V'yotze. But the Rabbanan disagree, Rabbi Eliezer, on the other polar extreme. The Amri Tzidei Rishus HaRabim Lav Kirshus HaRabim Domi. Now, in order to appreciate this, we have to know about something called a Karmelis, which is technically in the ownership of the Rabbim, but it doesn't have the status on Shabbos as Rishus HaRabim is concerned. The Gemara thinks that it has the status of Rishus HaYochid as far as, number one, Hotzah D'oraisa, and number two, as far as Kinyanim are concerned. For example, a Kinyan Meshicha. So the Gemara is going to say the following: Iker Avonah D'Amri Tzidei Rishus HaRabim Lav Ki Rishus HaRabim Domi is Iser Geneva Iker. In other words, if the status of this area that's off the main highway, it's off the main drag, but it's still technically part of the Rishus HaRabim, if because it's no longer in a comfortable way accessible to the Rabbim, then it becomes like a Karmelis. Right? The classical case of a Karmelis would be a forest or an area that's covered by water, you know, near the riverbanks. These are areas that technically are part of the Rabbim, but nobody uses it there. It's not comfortable to function there because it's full of growth or it's full of water and so forth and so on. So again, what the status of a Karmelis on a Durabana level is, you know, we'd have to learn Masech the Erevin for that, but suffice it to say that at a Deraisa level, you're not Chayav for Hotzah Shabbos because a Karmelis is not a Rishus HaRabim. So the Rabbanan identified Tzidei Rishus HaRabim as a Karmelis, meaning it doesn't have the status of Rishus HaRabim. But as far as a Karmelis is concerned in Hilchas Kinyanim, so the Gemara says that since it's not being used, it's not comfortable for the Rabbim to use it, but rather I use it for my own private purposes, therefore as far as Hafganas Bailus, meaning as far as Kinyanim are concerned, then he's going to be Chayav as a Gana. So the Gemara says, Iser Gneva Ika, but Iser Shabbos Leka. Notice, as far as the Torah is concerned, again, on the Rabbana level, you're not allowed to carry in a Karmelis without an Erev. But as far as the Torah is concerned, if you take something out of Rishus HaYochid and place it down into a Karmelis, you're potter. Why? Because the Rabbana are equating Tzidei Rishus HaRabim with a Karmelis, but I'm just saying that a Karmelis is not called Rishus HaRabim. And even Rabbi Eliezer knows that a Karmelis is not called Rishus HaRabim. Just that Rabbi Eliezer holds that Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is the extension of Rishus HaRabim, has the full-fledged status of Rishus HaRabim, and therefore you chayav Hotzah, and therefore you would not be Kone B'Meshicha. According to Rachamim, on the other hand, Tzidei Rishus HaRabim have the status of a Karmelis, meaning they're no longer a public domain, and therefore in Hilchas Shabbos you're potter. The Gemara assumes now that if the reason why in Shabbos it loses its status as Rishus HaRabim is because it's off to the side and it's an area that's set away from the Rabim, in other words, it's very uncomfortable to use it, you can't get your agalot in there, maybe you can go by foot, therefore it's mufka from the status of Rishus HaRabim, but the Gemara still maintains that you can be chayav for Gneva and you can achieve your kinyan because it's enough of a private place that it demonstrates pilus. The fact that I took it in there, it demonstrates pilus. And at this point, the Gemara is looking for some area, some location, which, although it's technically Rishus HaRabim, nevertheless, the private people use that area. That's going to be called a simta, which we're going to try to figure out now. Okay, Yechiel, now the floor is yours. I just wanted to get through the mechanics of it, at least where the Gemara is taking us.
It was more another technical question. It seemed to me that if the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim was blocked off by all these barriers, then you don't have Holchei Regel in that area, and then it loses its status as Rishus HaRabim.
Well, that indeed is very close to what the Chachamim are saying over here, that it forfeits its status as Rishus HaRabim, because, you know, for someone to use that area would really be bedoch hagadol. You know, it's not comfortable, and therefore it's not a Rishus HaRabim. It's like a caramelist, you know.
Right. So I was raising it to Rabbi Eliezer.
Oh, what would Rabbi Eliezer count? Rabbi Eliezer seems to base his definition on Rishus HaRabim as who owns the Rishus HaRabim. The question is going to be how Rabbi Eliezer understands the difference between Sidi Rishus HaRabim and caramelist, because if caramelist means that even though it belongs to the Rab, no one could claim private ownership on a forest or a riverbank, and yet it's considered a Rishus HaYachid as far as Shabbos is concerned, or Makom Ptur, we should actually technically call it, and that's because it's not comfortable to use that. So what's Rabbi Eliezer's argument in the case of Tzidei Rishus HaRab? So Rabbi Eliezer probably is going to assume that, again, that's going to be the next Gemara about Doch Kibei Rab, that if there are many people, you know, hordes of people that are using Rishus HaRabim, then sometimes under those circumstances it's quite comfortable to go off into Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, meaning Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is a better option than Rishus HaRabim itself if you're the last man on the block, if you're following me. Everyone's out there, you know, they're bringing their agalot there and the whole nine yards, and now, you know, you get sort of pushed off into the side, which is called Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says that it maintains its status in Rishus HaRabim, A, because it still belongs to the Rabim, and B, because there are occasions in which the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim become the extension or the replacement for Rishus HaRabim for situations in which it's comfortable.
It's the area bounded by the Amudim, not the Amudim themselves.
Right. The Amudim themselves is called a Makom Ptur if it's less than 10 Tfachim high. So the Gemara answers, Li'olam ki Rabbi Eliezer. Now you're going to ask the following question. If it's Rabbi Eliezer, then Rabbi Eliezer identifies Tzidei Rishus HaRabim as Rishus HaRabim. And if that be the case, how can you possibly effectuate a Kinyan Gneva with a Mashicha into Tzidei Rishus HaRabim? The Gemara answers, V'chi Omar Rabbi Eliezer. When did Rabbi Eliezer say Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, Kirshus HaRabim, Tomei Hani Linyin Chiyuv the Shabbos? Here's the schizophrenia that I call the relativity theory. As far as Shabbos is concerned, since there are occasions in which what? In which you would, anyone would you would utilize the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. He wants to get from point X to point Y. He's going to go through the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. That itself maintains the status of Tzidei Rishus HaRabim as Rishus HaRabim. But because, again, keep in mind, the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim was once upon a time, it was Rishus HaRabim. It was Mamish Rishus HaRabim. But the homeowners decided to cut it off by setting up the Amudim. So he says, Zimnin didoch ki rabim v'ayli lahasam, since under certain circumstances, the people themselves will actually utilize the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. They're going in Rishus HaRabim, and then they'll veer off towards the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, because there's such a massive amount of people filling up the streets that they have to go into the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. I know, Rabosa, if you've ever been here on Emek Ufayim Street on Leil Yom Kippur, I'm not talking about the bike riders, that's a different issue, but, you know, the streets, it's a beautiful sight to see it on Leil Yom Kippur. I mean, the streets are absolutely flooded, and there's no demonstrations here, it's not Afghanot. You know, in such a case, you know, if you get there a little bit late, you might be pushed over to the pegs over here on the side. There actually are pegs here on the side. So in other words, according to Rabbi Eliezer, as long as we have two conditions, number one, this is a part of the Rabbim's property. And number two, there are situations in which people will actually use it as an extension of Rishus HaRabbim, and therefore it's noach. You know, it's under those circumstances, it's noach. It's comfortable to use the tzidur Rishus HaRabbim. That's enough. Oh. Now, why is it called Rishus HaYochid at the same time, as far as Kinyanim is concerned? So the Gemara says, if you do a Mashiach into Tzidi Rishus HaRabim, even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that it has the status of Rishus HaYochid. Why? Because it's like a private place. Meaning, under normal conditions, people don't go in there. And Kinyanim means I take it into a private place. So the Gemara says, "My time lo shchiche rab, lo shchiche rabim." You know, there are situations in which there is shchiche rabim, but since right now in the present condition it's not shchiche rabim, there are no rabim mitzuyim sham. It's not dochki be rabim. Therefore, it has the status of a simta. And again, here we'll have to have a long discussion about a simta. But at this point, again, just to get by the Gemara, we'll say that a simta is a place where the Mishnah establishes above Metzi, you can do a Kinyan Meshicha into a Simta. So a Simta, again, is technically part of the Rishus HaRabim, but it's off on the side in such a way that most people don't use it. It's kind of a private area, and it's called Lo Shchicha BeRabim, and hence you can use it for a Kinyan. Now I have here a footnote in the name of the Ramban, and the Ramban says, Mikan Muchach, the Gemara is obviously assuming that if the object was in the Rishus of the Mocher, right, the Mocher is trying to sell it, so he wants to bequeath the ownership to you, and now you take it from his Rishus into a Simta, you effectuate a valid Kinyan. So in other words, Ramban is making an equation between Gneva and general Hilchus Kinyanim. Just like in Gneva, the Gemara establishes that a Simta is valid for a Kinyan Meshicha of Gneva, so too, in general, a Simta must be valid. There's no reason why we should upgrade or actually downgrade the standards and the requirements of a Rishus HaYochid for Gneva compared to other Kinyanim. So that now, this case of Kinyan, specifically into a Simta, is paradigmic of all Kinyanim. And if you're selling me a cow, and I buy the cow from you, and I bring it into the Simta, then I'm kone it. Fine. Okay, now he quotes a Ritva. The Ritva says that Kinyan Meshicha Moel B'chefetz Benoni, right, the Gemara said that this pocketbook was a mitzi. It was not too large. It was not too small. If it was too small, then it's shelo kedarko. If it was too large, then why did Gemara? What was Gemara? I'm sorry, I forgot. If it was too large, e baravrave. Oh, the Gemara says the following. If it's beravrave, then there's no chiddush. Remember, the Gemara was trying to deflect the liflog v'lisni b'didah and tell you that the Brice had vested interest in telling you the din of Megar v'yotze. What was the gevaldige chiddush of Megar v'yotze? So you might think it's shelo kedarko. But what kind of havamin is that shelo kedarko if it's a very large pocketbook? Because that's the way you normally would get a pocketbook out of this rishus into another rishus through Greira. So we finally came to the conclusion that it's mitzi. It's a middle-sized pocketbook. Maybe certain members of the population would carry such a thing. It's not so large that you can't carry it. Other members would find it a little easier to drag it. Maybe they don't have the same strength. And the chiddush is that this is called urche. The kona oso b'meshicha letzidei rishus harabim. So now, if let's say I want to be kona your object, then if I take it into Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, at least according to this sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, then I can effectuate the Kinyan. But he says the following, that's the Ritva says that's only what? In a case of Mitz'e. Why would Why would Seder Rishis Rab depend upon the size? Oh, because he does greater, right? He's doing greater. So in other words, if we have, here's the deal. The Ritva wants to say that just like there's a requirement of Urche in Hilchas Shabbos, there's also a parallel requirement of Urche in Hilchas Kinyanim. So now he's trying to be Kona. We're not talking about a Goslin here. Somebody wants to make a Kinyan Meshicha on someone else's pocketbook, who, you know, the Machna is giving it to the Lokeach. Can he effectuate a Kinyan Meshicha into Tzidei Rishus HaRavim? And if he does so with Greira, is that called a valid Kinyan? So the Ritva says, if we accept this Gemara of Rabbi Eliezer, let's assume for time being we pass like Rabbi Eliezer, and if that be the case, then since it's Lo Shchichi Be'Ravim, therefore Tzidei Rishus HaRavim have the status of Rishus HaYochin, and therefore you can effectuate a Kinyan. But if he's doing it through Greira, he says, then we have to make sure that it's a middle-sized pocketbook. Why? Because the requirement of Urche applies not just to Hilchos Shabbos but also to Kinyon. This is a big chiddush of the Ritva, and therefore, just like in Shabbos, we said that if it was a smaller pocketbook, then he would not be chayav for Greira as far as violating the malacha of Shabbos, because it's not what, it's not urche. So to in Hilchos Kinyonim, if it was a very small a pocketbook and he's dragging it into a Tzidei Rishus HaRavim situation, that would be Lav Urche. Okay. Now, Rabosai, we get back to our discussion about Tosus on Daf Lamed Aleph Amed Aleph. Let me just make a note. Does anybody happen to have a pencil?
Yeah.
If I can borrow your pencil. We have another two ukimtas, which we'll pick up a little bit later on. We have Ravashi and Rava, and that has to do with the Kinyan Yad. And those two ukimtas are going to give us other possible scenarios in which you can be chayv both for Gneva and simultaneously for Shabbos, and then we'll apply the principle of Kimlev Rami. So yesterday we started this Tosfos. Divra Maskel Hachinami on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. And let's just review that we had two diyukim, Shtaim Shein Achas, I should say, but both diyukim lead us to the conclusion that this Tosfos is a Hemshech of the Tosfos Divra Maskel Sha'akira, which is written by Rabbeinu Tam. Or shall I say, which reflects the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Now let's go over the two diyukim very quickly, and then we want to see the nafkamina between Tosfos Shita and the Ra'ah. Okay, so what does Tosfos say? Tosfos says that when the Gemara asked the Kasha, how can you tell me, Rabbi Ovin, that there's a principle called Akira Litzorach Hanocha? What about the case of Gonev Kiss, where he lifts up the kiss and then he takes it out to Rishus HaRavim on Shabbos, puts it down to Rishus HaRavim, and we should apply the principle of Akira Litzorach Hanocha? That was Gemara's Kash. So Tosfos, in explaining the Gemara's Kasha and the application of Akira Litzorach Hanocha here to the case of Agbah, Tosfos says, you'll see this on the second line of Tosfos, I efshal Hanocha below Agbah. And then he's going to say Mali this, Mali that, but basically he's saying that the principle of Akiru Tzorch HaNocha, which operates, or shall I say activates Kimlei B'Ravminei, applies whenever the first action was necessary in order to set up the second action. Again, the language is Efshal HaNocha below Hagbah. In order for him to put down the pocketbook, he must lift it up. So you lift it up, and then you put it down. You lift it up in the Rishus of the Nignav, Rishus Bailim, and then you put it down in the Rishus HaRavim, or Tzidei Rishus HaRavim, whatever it might be. This phrase, this formulation of the Efshal HaNocha B'lo Agbah, stands in contrast to the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah's language is very different. The Ra'ah says that the Hagbah, or the Akira, is Tchilas Achiv. And he says that the Chiv Misa is already generated or incurred by the first step, which is called Akira in Hilchos Shabbos, right? So again, we call it Agbah, describing it as a reality, as a physical reality of lifting it up. But in Hilchos Shabbos terms, we can give it a different name, and it's called an Akira. Says the Ra'ah, when you're chayef for Melechus Hotzah, you're chayef not only for the Hanacha, but also for the Akira. So the Akira is part of the Chiyuv Misa, if you follow. It's stage number one in the Chiyuv Misa. That's not the language of Tosfos. Tosfos says the Efshal Hanacha B'lo Agbah. He doesn't emphasize the way the Ra'ah emphasizes that the Agbah is an Akira, and when you're chayef for Shabbos, you're chayef for the Akira as well. Right, you chayef for A plus B, Akira plus Hanacha. Furthermore, we had a second diuk at the end of Tosfos when he writes V'ad shas hanocha moshech, bless you, moshech achiyuv. Now the concept of moshech achiyuv ad shas hanocha means that the chiyuv somehow is connected to the beginning, or in this case the moment that he did the hagbah. Now let's see if we can take these two diyukim and connect them to Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos Divrei Maskil Shakira, interpreting a sugya Masechta Gittin, the Gemara talks about someone who steals a casket of wine and he pours it as Avodah Zarah. And the question is, do we apply the principle of Kim Lev Deramine, since he's chayef for the Nisuch of Avodah Zarah, therefore he doesn't have to pay for the stealing of the wine? And Rabbeinu Tam says that here we're going to apply a principle of the Efshal Nisuch B'lo Agbah, which means the following, that, well, let me ask you the following question as almost as a quiz question to you. Can we apply the logic of the Ra'ah to Rabbeinu Tam? Right, the Ra'ah is saying that the Akira is the beginning of the Maisa Machayev. You can't apply that to Rabbeinu Tam, because no way, no how can you convince me that lifting up wine is part of the Machayev, that when we I was going to say beat the living daylights out of you, but really we're not putting you to death for lifting up the wine.
But you can't pour it without it.
Exactly. Right. So now we're applying a whole new definition of Akira L'tzorch Hanocha, which is different than that of the Ra'ah. And that's why he says on the top of page Kuf Tzadi Beis that Tosfos has a Shita Shlishis. The middle Shita is Rashba. We'll review that in a minute, but Shita Shlishis means that Tosfos is in disagreement with the Ra'ah. And you'll see this at the end of that first paragraph on Kuf Tzadi Beis, and we underlined this yesterday, three lines up from the bottom. Hare lo kosvu bepashtus ki Hara'ah. The Ra'ah would say that the Chiyuv Misa is incurred by this Akira, or in this case, this Hagbah. And although that could apply in the case of Ganav Kisvo Tzio, why? Because the Mashiach, the Hagbah was an Akira, and therefore we can apply the yardstick of the Ra'ah of Tchilas Chiyuv Misa, that he's already Chayiv Misa, so to speak, right? He's Chayiv Misa, so to speak, at the moment of the Akira, because the Akira is an integral part of the Chiyuv Misa. There's no way that Tosfos is referring to that Svara, because Tosfos doesn't say anything about the Hagbah as part of the Chiyuv. Rather, Tosfos says he Efshar L'Hanocha B'lo Hagbah, that there's no way he can place down this kiss, this stolen wallet in the Rishus HaRabim, unless he did the Hagbah. And if you add that to Rabbeinu Tam, that there's no way that you can achieve Nisuch without the Hagbah, then we have a whole new Shita. Again, I'm not denying, you see, this is the weak point here in this whole argument. I'm not denying that if I only had this Tosfos Hochanami and the scenario of stealing someone's wallet, that we couldn't say the way the Ra'ah would want to say it, that the minute he lifts up the wallet, he's already begun the Chiyuv Misa. Because again, we're talking about Melechus Hotzah, and lifting up the wallet is an Akira. But if we're going to put the two Tosfos in together, And we're going to take the language of Avatos to the Efshal Anof below Agbah. He's not talking about the Machayev of Misa in Meleches Otzah, that this Agbah was an Akira. And we apply it to Rabbeinu Tam, that he Efshar L'Misah below what? Below Agbah. Then what we're seeing here is a whole new Shita. And we're going to try to define that sheet. This is the sheet of Tosis, we're going to call it. And the sheet of Tosis is that we don't have to, in order to activate the principle of Akir L'Tzorach Hanof and Kim Le'Mar, we don't need, our goal need not be so bold as to say that the Tchilas Chiyuv Misa was already set into motion by the first Pa'ula, which overlaps or coincides with the Chiyuv Mama. No, we don't have to go that far, says Tosis. That's crystal clear on Meir Tam, and it's implicit in the second Tosus Kagon. All we need to say is that the Chiyuv Misa gets a broader definition. We're able to expand this concept of Kimlev the Rabbine to say that already he himself is in the process of an enterprise that's going to culminate with the Chiyuv Misa. We're not saying that he's involved in the Maisa Machayev. We're not saying that his first Pa'ula, which kicks off the Kimle Ramine, is an Avera HaMachayev. No. It's not an Avera HaMachayev. It's only Yefshar. We can't get to the second goal, which would be the Chiyuv Misa, without the first Pa'ula. So we have a preliminary stage that's muchach, that must be. Do you follow me? By must be, in Metzius it must be. And that allows me to take the Shas Chiyuv Misa and expand it. Now if you take a look at this paragraph, Resh Chav Zion, on the bottom of your right column, he compares it to two different things. He compares it to Edus, and to the sugya that we had before of Tochav Lo Bebeis Habliya with the Ritzba and Tosus. So let's go through this one by one. We have a case of Edus. Now in the case of Edus, every witness has to testify Toch Kedei Dibur of the previous witness. So if there are only two witnesses, then everything is glach. Simple, straight, nothing is complicated. Ruvei testifies, and immediately after he completes his testimony, Tolkadei Diver Shimon starts his story. But what happens in the case of three witnesses? So what happens is that the second witness is going to testify Tolkadei Diver, the first witness. The third witness, on the other hand, is not Tolkadei Diver, he's Tolkadei Diver, the second witness, but he's not Tolkadei Diver, the first witness. If you look at the clock, right? Now the Nafka Mina is going to be awesome because we have a Mishnah that says Nimtza Echad Mehem Karav Apostle is a Dusa B'Teila. So if the premise of the Gemara is that you can have any number of witnesses, it's not the pshat that as soon as the second witness finishes his testimony, that's it, we close the case, finito, gomaru, and we go on to other issues in life. No. Every witness that comes into Beis Din and claims he has something to tell us about this case because he saw it, he's going to be included in what's called the Kata Eden with tremendous nafkaminas. It could be a nafkamina as far as his life is concerned, because if he turns out to be an Eid Zomein, he's going to be put to death, even though he's number three on the list. I shouldn't talk about that. What number you are on the list. This is the whole future of Kali's. Okay, what number are you on the list? So how do we define this? So the answer is that there is a broader definition of simultaneity in Allah, and it's not just look at your watch, but it has to do with, like, if I could borrow this term from a set of Kedushin, like oskim v'yoso inyan. You know, things are going on, and we're all here together for the same purpose, and we're achieving the same agenda, we're working in cahoots, in partnership. So the third aid is part of the cat that was kicked off, and now I've got to say this was kicked off by the first aid. His testimony number three on the list is not Tokidei Diva, the first aid. It is Tokidei Diva. Why? Because they're all involved in Avis. One cat, indivisible, one unit of Avis. Now, we need Tokidei Diva of the previous aid in order to hook into the cat. But the Chagadi allows me to go on and on and on from one witness to another witness to another witness. And by the time you get to the 100th witness, you know, a couple of hours have gone by since the original. So why is the last aid, number 100 on the list, part of the same cat as the first aid? And the answer is that since they're Oskimoso Indian, we see it as as if it was simultaneous. It's all Tokidei Diva. Here also, what we're saying is that there's a kind of a Tokidei Diva Allah of Oskimoso Indian when you need Pa'ula A in order to achieve the Chiyuv Misa. So in order to get to the Chiyuv Misa of Melechus Hotzah, you need the Akira, but we're not talking about the Akira as a Machayev, but rather we're talking about it as an Akira that sets up or facilitates the possibility of being Chayev. And in that light, we can expand this with the definition of Rabbeinu Tam in the case of Nisuch, where the Agbah is Litzorech Nisuch, and not only is it Litzorech Nisuch, but it's the Efshal and Nisuch below Agbah. And once you have that connection of the Efshar, you have now an expanded time period, we'll call it the Tokidei Diva theory, in which you're involved in this Avera. You started by lifting up the casket of wine, and you ended by pouring it for the sake of an idol. But it's all one involvement. Not one Maisa Machayev. It's not the Chiyuv Misa begins with Hagbah, but it means that you're involved in what will terminate eventually in the Chiyuv Misa, and as long as you're Oseg Boso Inyan, then we're going to apply the principle of Kimlei Ramine if at any point during the Hemshech you incur a Chiyuv Mam. And that's what Tosis means when he says at the bottom, V'ad Shas Hanocha Moshech Achiyuv. Do you see those two words, Moshech Achiyuv? Now, Moshech Achiyuv doesn't mean that he's involved in the Maisa Machayev, but we can be mamshich lechiyuv. I mean, actually, in this case, the way Tosis projects it, you know, if it was a vision, it was like a projector, you know, in a movie, we're actually moving backwards in time. In other words, in Avis, we're moving forwards in time. What we're saying is that the first witness in this whole clan, if this whole series of witnesses, his Avis projects forward into the future. Right, it projects forward into the future. Basically, the aid is saying, "Well, I need a bunch of collaborators, you know, to join me in this partnership and testify after me. And even if it's going to be 100 of them, and the 100th is going to testify in an hour from now, my Adus, the first guy's Adus, is connected to the aid at the end of the 100, at the end of the 100, the series of 100." Okay. Here in our case, we're going in the opposite direction. We're saying, look at this Hanukkah, or look at this Nisuch HaYayin, and ask yourself the question, what actions facilitated the possibility that it could eventually culminate or determine a Chiyuv Misa? And if you could define those actions, then we're going to take the Chiyuv Misa, and we're going to expand that time period of the Chiyuv Misa to include even the time period when he was involved in the first actions. You hear the Gevaldik Chiddush here, that you're Moshech the Hanocha. What's the language again? Moshech HaChiyuv. He's talking about the Chiyuv of Hanocha, and you can be Mamshech that Chiyuv in which direction? Not forwards, but
backwards.
That's he's being Moshech the Chiyuv, as far as mine is concerned. Why? Because it's like Oskim Be'oso Inyan. There's some sort of continuous involvement that in an enterprise, in a goal, that will culminate with the Hanocha. So already at the time of Hagbah, he has in mind, and his goal is to achieve a Hanocha. And not only that, but there's no way that he could achieve that Hanocha without Hagbah. And if we add those two factors together, then we have this expansive time period in which we're allowed to activate Kimlei B'Ramine even before the Chiyuv emerges.
It's close enough.
Again, when you say close enough, I don't know if it means close enough on the clock. I'm not, you know, again, you
considered close enough.
Right. It's a legal definition, meaning, it, you know, theoretically it might take an hour. You know, you might have to do 100 different things or one long thing until you can finally get to the Maisa Machayev. But it's radically different than the Ra'ah, and you will see the Nafkaminas as we go along, because the Ra'ah is pushing the agenda on expanding the Ma'isa Machayev. And he's going to establish that when you eventually hit the Hanacha bell, you were really chayev for everything. Meaning, the Akira.
It's like a Magnus.
But we're not saying that according to Tosis, you know, you did that action and that's part of the Ma'isa Machayev. Yeah. So I give you an Nafkamina. Remember I mentioned about Hasro. Hasro always has to be before the Ma'isa Machayev. But it has to be Tamud, immediately. So let's say, for example, he would give him a Hasra when he's lifting up the bottle of wine, right, the casket of wine. Now it's going to take Lomazogin 5 seconds. 5 seconds until after he lifts it up and he finally achieves the Nisuch. If he gave him Hasra before lifting it up, that would not be a valid Hasra. He's going to tell him, I warn you, if you violate Avodah Zarah, we're going to take you out to the Beis Haskila. What do you mean? He's not ready to violate he first has to do the Hagbah. Not so in the case of Akira in Hilchos Shabbos. If he got the Hasra right before he started the Akira, and it may take who knows how long until he finally achieves the Hanacha, he would be Chayav based on that Hasra. Because as the Ra'ah insists, the Tchilas Achiyuv is the Akira. And that's how the Ra'ah is going to take it in this sugi. Tosis, on the other hand, Tosis is not saying it's a Tchilas Achiyuv. Tosis is just saying, Yefshav Hanacha v'lo Akira. That I absolutely need this hakdama, this preliminary stage of hakbah in order to set up a hakdama.
If that's all he's saying, then how is it? How does that result in the kumlev de rabbine?
Why? Because kumlev de rabbine means that it has to be simultaneous with the chiyuv. This is called simultaneous with the chiyuv. Just like in the case of Eidim. The 100th aid is considered to have testified simultaneously, token aid of the first witness. Well, we know that that's not true on the clock. So we see that there's a precedent for the halacha to taking some action that took place at time X and considering it as if it took place simultaneous with action Y. How could that be possible when it's not simultaneous? It's a legal fiction. Then he quotes the Ritzbah. Now the Ritzbah is very interesting too, because in the Ritzbah's favorite reference, Tachav lo chelev l'toch beis habliya, his friend put the chelev there. At the moment that he starts swallowing it, he's chayav for gneva, right? But again, I'm not going into all the, you know, the different. He's chayav for hanah, we'll call it, okay? But that's the technical term, and he's not going to be chayav for achilas chelev until when? Until it goes down to his base through the base subli into his mayayim, hanos mayayim. And yet the Gemara says that if in such a case where it's the efshel adure, right, lo motzi adure, then we apply the principle of kimleiv the rabbin. So let's think about that. Is it really simultaneous?
Yeah,
because the moment that he swallows it, he's chayav for gneva or mazik or hanah, whatever we want to call it, but he's not going to be chayav for chelev until it goes down his esophagus.
But it's more about the dure, so that makes it one that you can understand.
Maybe that, you know, you might want to define it as chilas blia, right? So the re goes ballistic against the ritzpah, and he says, no, that's not chilas blia. Chilas blia is when it goes down into your me'ayim. So you could say that the ritzpah holds that's chilas blia. But the other way of explaining the ritzpah is to say that it's the efshe below zeh, meaning you can't swallow it unless you begin to swallow it. You can't get it down your esophagus unless you begin to swallow it. But what I'm most curious about is the nafkamina. What are the nafkaminas between the ra'ah and Tosfos? And the first nafkamina is the most challenging. If you gentlemen could help me with this, I'll be very, very, very appreciative. And this is on the bottom left of page Kuf Tzadi Beis, which is called Reish Chav Ches. We have a concept called Chayvei Misos Shogigin, which means, and this is all based on Tanit Bechizkiyah, that it matters in terms of Kimlei Ramili, it matters not whether you implemented in Avera B'mezid or even B'shogeg. So we're talking about Chayvei Misos, and we're talking about a case where he was unaware of the fact that he'll be Chayv Misa. So it's an unintentional Chayv Misa, meaning the action per se, had he implemented it B'mezid, would generate a Chayv Misa. But he was Shogeg. And Tanu Bechizkiya derives from a very complicated Yalfusa, which I think we've discussed in the past, that in such a case we apply Kimlei Bidaram. The exception to the rule is what's called Chayving Malkios Shogigin, which means that if you incurred a Chiv Malkus and simultaneously a Chiv Mamon, we're only going to apply, this is derived from Kdei Mishaso, another branch of Kimlei Ramine, only if you were amazed, but not if you were a shogeg. So what it means is that Kedei Rishos, in the case of Malkus and Mammon, is addressing itself to the Bezdin, and the Bezdin can only implement one chiyuv, one onish, and not two onishim. So if they're giving out Malkus, which is a more severe onish, then they have to drop the ball on Mammon. They can't force him to pay the Mammon. Would he come under his own initiative and pay for it because of Din Shamayim? That we can discuss. But as far as Dini Adam is concerned, he's not Chayev. He's not Chayev. Why isn't he Chayev? Because he's Chayev Malkus. But when is he Chayev Malkus, Rav Osai? Under what condition? He's got to be amazing, am I right?
Right.
On a shogi, we don't give Malkus.
That's correct.
So therefore, if he's involved in a Chayev Malkus, but it was an Avera of Malkus, but befall, in actuality, he's not Chayev Malkus because he was a Shogeg, then he's going to pay the Mammon. And that's a Sugya Masechta Chulin. So again, the premise here of this, just as a background information of this paragraph, which I'm racking my brains on here, is that Chayvei Malkios Shogegin Chayev the Mammon. Meaning we don't apply the principle of Kedei Rishoso, because he's a shogeg. Adkan, I understand. Now, he wants to know whether Akira Litzorach Hanocha, right, that's Rabbi Yovan's principle in Kimlei Ramine, generates a mazid or a shogeg. Now watch this, he's amazing. You know, there's no question he's amazing, but yet, it's called a shogeg. Why is it called a shogeg? Because what we're doing is we're not looking at the chiyuv befal, because again, at the time of the akira, is he chayav? He's not chayav. He may be chayav, but that remains to be seen, and that's going to depend upon another action, which is called hanocha. But if we isolate the akira for one moment, then we're talking about the absence of a chiyuv. In other words, we can expand the chiyuv, right, in different ways. We have the Ra'oz way and we have the Tosus' way. But he says, that's not a chiyuv befal. Do you follow what I mean by chiyuv befal? Again, we can talk about the Akira in conceptual terms. You know, in the world of theory, we could say that he's chayav misa. But in the actual world, at that moment in time, he's not Chayv Misa. He says, I think he's quoting the Ar Sameach, I forget exactly, we'll look in the footnotes. He says that that's called Shogeg. That since he's not Chayv Misa at this point, then we can only describe or analyze his action in theory, like in an abstract conceptual world, and that's what Chayvei Misa Shogegin is all about. Because in Chayvei Misa Shogegin, we're going to apply the principle of Kimlei D'Ramine according to Tanu Bechizkiya, even though there's no Chiyuv Befal. But we're going to look at a conceptual world, and we're going to say, but there is a Chiyuv Misa. Why is there a Chiyuv Misa? Because had he done it, amazing, he would be Chayv.
So it's in the realm of Chiyuv Misa.
Right, some sort of an abstract application to the Chiyuv Misa. Now we're saying that Akira Litzorach Hanoch is also an abstract application of the Chiyuv Misa, or extension of the Chiyuv Misa. It's abstract, it's not befall. Because right now, if we isolate that moment of time of the Akira, he's not chayev. There's nothing we can do. We can't touch the guy. Just like in the case of Shogig, we can't touch the guy. But what would happen, therefore, in the case of Chayvei Malkus? So imagine the following case. Akira Litzarech Hanocha for Chayv Malkus. Would we patter him up from Mamon, activating the principle Akira Litzarech Hanocha, which again is the same as Kimlev the Rabbi, right? And therefore he's patter from Mamon? Or are we going to say no? This Akira Litzarech Hanocha has the status of what? Of Shogeg. And if it has the status of Shogeg, then here's the difference between Chayvei Misa Shogeg and Chayvei Malkus Shogeg. In the case of Malkus, there is no Kimlev the Ramine in the case of Shogeg. Because in Chayvei Malkus, we need the Chiyuv Malkus befall. And then we apply today with Shoso, and we address ourselves to the Bezdin, and we say, you can't beat the guy up and then extract, you know, $100 from him. That we can't do, because he can't implement too. But that's only in the case of Mazik. But in the case of Shogeg, where he's not going to get Malkus, then we're going to hit him with the whole book, you know, as far as Mammon is concerned, he has to pay. In Akira Litzarech Hanocha, if we define it, identify it as Shogeg, because that if we pinpoint and isolate that moment of Akira, there's no Chiyuv Befal, then what would be in a case of Malkus? In a case of, let's say, Akira Litzarech Hanocha B'Shogeg, we would apply the principle of Kimlev Rami. Of that there's no doubt, because we accept the Tanan Bechizkia and Chayvei Misa Shogegin is Potem in HaTashlumin. But if it's a case of Malkios, then we have to analyze this from the perspective of whether Akira Litzarech Hanocha generates a Mezin or it generates a Shogeg. Again, Rabosa, he's amazing. Don't misunderstand me for one split second. He definitely knows exactly what he's doing. He had a Hasra, they were Edom, they told him that we're going to beat the living daylights out of you, and he went ahead and he did the Avera. But we want to set up a Kimlev for the Rabbi, not at the moment of Hanocha, but at the moment of Akira. At that moment, we have Dumya de Shogeg. What do I mean by Dumya de Shogeg? There's no Chiyuv Befal. So take a look at it inside and tell me if you can figure this out. I mean, I've been racking my brains on this. He says the following. The Efshar, Sheyesh Nafkamina Ledina Bein Shitas Ara'ov HaRamban. By the way, don't lose hope, because the next Nafkamina is a lot easier. This is the real tough one. I don't know why he started with this one. He says, "I amrinon, will we apply the principle of Akira Litzarech Hanocha b'zorek chetz b'yom HaKippurim v'hisru bo v'nischayev Malkus v'karashirayim alichoso?" Rabosa, why does he substitute? Until now we've been talking about Shabbos, and now he talks about Yom Kippur. Why does he need Yom Kippur over here? You want to come up with Chayvei Malkus? I'll give you 50 different examples of Chayvei Malkus. This is a pretty weird case. They gave him Asra for Malkus, but he's Chayv Koretz for violating Yom Kippur. Why does he choose Yom Kippur? Because he needs Meleches Hotzah, right? He wants to demonstrate his point with Akira Litzarech Hanocha. How could you have an Akira Litzarech Hanocha in this case of a Chayv Malkus? And the answer is because the Eidim, when they see he's about to violate Yom Kippur by doing Hotzah, which I just thought, but that's complicated. Anyway, I don't want to go off on a tangent, because Hotzal, Choraz, and Melech, Hotzal, Nefesh, I don't know if it applies on Yom Kippur, but whatever. Let's say there's no Heter, Hotzal, Nefesh on Yom Kippur. That's Machlokis, the Netziv, and somebody else. Anyway, so there's no din of mitoch, you know, of Hotzal, Nefesh on Yom Kippur, because the Torah says you can't eat anything on Yom Kippur. Fine. So now he's going to violate Meleches Hotzah. Now, what do you get for violating Meleches Hotzah on Yom Kippur, assuming the Hasra, everything checks out? Malkus, right? Oh, so you get Malkus. So now we have a case of Chayvei Malkios, of Akira Litzarech Hanocha, because again, when did he rip the Shirayim of Chaveru? Before the Hanocha. And the question is, would he have to pay for the loss of the Shirayim? And this is Maisim B'chol Yom Kippur. Every Yom Kippur this happens, right? On every Yom Kippur, a person shoots an arrow and he rips somebody else's Shirayim, right? And we have to know whether he has to pay for the Shirayim, right? You know, you see how abstract the Torah is. So he's saying he got Asra for Malkus. what is this? A or B? Is this Chayve Malkius Mezid or is Chayve Malkius Shogin? If it's Mezid, then he doesn't have to pay for the Shirayim. If it's Shogin, he's going to have to pay for the Shirayim. So he wants to say that this depends on the Machlokas, the Ra'ah, and Tos. Anybody want to take a stab at it without looking inside which direction is going to go which? Let's take a minute. Can we get like one moment of silence? I mean, it's not Yom HaZikaron, but one moment of silence. If you hold like the Ra'ah, then it's Tchilas Achiv. According to Tosis, it's what? To see Efshar. If it's an expansion of the time, then we could say that it's happening at the time that he's Chayav Malkus. If you're going to go like the Ra'ah, oh, I think I have. Anybody want to?
Well, it's going the way you said, like before, whether you start with the Hanacha or you start with the Akira. If you start with Hanacha and then include the Akira,
you're going with Tosis? Yeah, Tosis, backwards.
You go backwards. If in that case, then he would be potter because
but if you all like the Ra'ah,
then what happened is the Shirayim, the Kriya Shirayim occurred before the Chi of Misa because
let's put it the other way around, that the Akira, right, according to the Ra'ah, yeah, has to be considered the Tchilas Chiyuv, correct?
Right. So
that was the Ra'ah.
It's the Tchilas Chiyuv.
Oh, but since there's no Chiyuv Rafal, then it would be considered what? Shogin. I think that's what. Let's see if we got this right, first of all. He says, the Lashita Sara'ah the Din Akira Litzorach Hanocha Hu the Akira Hi Chelek Mi Chiyuv Misa Gam Kein Poteres Mi Tashlumin Afal Pishadain Lo Nigmar Chiyuv Misa Eino Nechshav El Kechayvi Misa Shogin. Ah. He wants to call it. In other words, again, it's absolutely the case, according to the Ra'ah, that the Akira is going to set up the Chiyuv Misa, or in this case, the Chiyuv Malkus, but yet there's no Chiyuv Befal. And if there's no Chiyuv Befal, the best you can do is you can call it Shogeg. This is what I think we should underline. Da'adayin lo chal Chiyuv Misa Befal. Who's he quoting here? I don't know. He doesn't. Is there any footnote here? There's no footnote here. Okay, maybe he's later on, he'll give us the footnote. You see, on the next page it says Arsa Meh. So I don't know if you can, maybe you have a chance to look that up. He says, but let's underline this. Da'adayin lo chal chiv misa b'fal. Do you see those words? Mm-hmm. Everything, the whole mountain here, stands or falls on this few, on these few words. Da'adayin lo chal chiv misa b'fal. That makes it into a shogeg. Why? Because what's the difference between Mezid and Shogeg? Mezid means he's Chayav Misa, and Shogeg means we look at the abstract Avera, right? And that we can only do in a case. I didn't say it right, but what I meant to say was, if you can scratch the listen, when we talk about Shogeg and we want to apply Kimle and Ramine, we have to climb up to the abstract worlds and say, well, what would be if? Correct? The what would be if philosophy in Kimle only operates with regard to Chayvei Misos. But with regard to Chayvei Malkius, there's no what if would be, in the Shogeg case. We need a Mezid. Why? Because we need the Chiyuv Befal. As I said, we're addressing, again, I'm not sure if what I'm telling you now is Lomdus or it's just Balabatish. I can't tell you. But the Maisa is that we're talking to the Dayanim. You follow what I'm saying?
What's the difference between the Malkut and the Misa?
Because again, there are two different sources for Kimlev the Ramine. One is called Asson, and the other is called Kedei Rishoso. And the Gemara in Chulin says that those are two fundamentally different concepts. Let me just show you where the address is for this. Just for
so second. Those are both Misa.
You have a minute? Take a look on page Kufchav Gimel, if you have that, in your archives. Right? So there he says that Rabbi Yochanan in Masechet Chulin. Should I wait for a minute?
No,
Kuf Chav Gimel, you have it?
Yeah.
So we're in Os Kuf Vav on the left side.
Yeah,
you see Kuf Vav?
Yeah.
So we did this way back when, but we have to do it again because it's very complicated. I dropped this midway because it became way too complicated for me. Okay. Anyway, it's a Sugya of Rabbi Yochanan in Masechet Chulin.
I showed him in Foal.
Oh, you have that underlined?
Yeah.
Okay, so he says the following, that Rabbi Yochanan, the third line, Svirulei dechayvei Malkius Chayvi, okay, forget about Chayvi Krisus, that's also in the picture, but it's just going to confuse us. But let's focus on Chayvi Malkus for a moment. Einon Potrevi Malkus. Again, we're talking about a case of a shogeg. Do you follow? So forget about Reish Lakish for a minute, because that's also going to confuse us. But Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that although we have Tana Debei Chizkiyah and Chayvi Mises Shogeg in El Potter, but we don't have that limud with regard to Chayvi Malkus. And Chayvi Malkus, we need what's called a Chiyuv Malkus before. Correct?
Yeah.
And if you want to fast forward about another 10 lines, so he says the following, that in Chiyuv Misa, based on Tana Debei Chizkiyah, Af She'ein Kan Onesh Bezdin, nevertheless we climb into the abstract world, so we look at the Avera per se, the Avera, forgetting about the Onshim, is a Chiyuv Misa. Whether befall we're going to give the Chiyuv Misa depends on Mesa the Shogi, but the Avera per se, if we isolate it, would be Mechayev Misa. And that's enough, according to Tana Debei Chizkiyah, which we accept, to generate or activate Kim Leib the Ramine. So we're not talking to Bezdin over here. You follow what I mean? We're looking at the Avera. We're saying this Avera, because it's a Chiyuv Misa in potential, not in actuality, it knocks off the Chiyuv Mama. Ah, Volinian Malkus. Now we're talking about Rabbi Yochanan and Masechta Chulin. Linian Malkus, Yalfina Mikra, the Chi Rishoso, Kedei Rishoso. We're no longer talking about Ason Yiyeh, which is the source for Kim Leib and the Ravine. That tells me Ein Eloka Umes, which means that we're addressing ourselves to Bezdin and saying to Bezdin, you can't give the guy Misa and at the same time give him Malkus. It would have to be Malkus first and then Misa, right? That we're not going to allow because Kedei Rishoso. What does Kedei Rishoso mean? Risha Achas Ato Machaiva. Machaiva means before. We're addressing ourselves to Bezdin. It's therefore Be'inish Shetei Arshah the onesh misa mesura lebezdin befall. You know, a lot of fancy words here. I would cut it down if it was up to me. I would say beidon shetia onesh befall. That would be enough for me. I don't need all the other flowery language. So that's going to be Rabbi Yochanan Shita in Chayvi Malkus. Hence, in the case of shogeg, there will not be a poter because we're not looking at the Avera and the Maisa Avera to set up a tour in abstract terms. We're looking at the Gavra and what he's going to get in front of Bezdin, and that's only in the case of Mezin. But in the case of Shogin, Chayvi Malkiel Shogin is Chayovin B'mamon. And now we're applying that to a case of a Zorek B'yom HaKippurim V'kara Shiraim Shal Chaver Bali Chaso, and he was a Shogin. I'm sorry. That was a very bad mistake. Yes, sorry. And he's amazing. And he had Asra. And we're going to give him Malkus. But at the same time that he gets Malkus, we're going to make him pay. How could that be? How can we make him pay? What happened to Kedei Rishoso? So the answer is because there's no Be'idna. Why is there no Be'idna? Because he ripped the Shiraya before the Anocha.
Right.
What happened to the sugya of Akira Tzorech Hanocha? The answer is Akira Tzorech Hanocha is a shogeg. And here we're talking about Malkus. And in Chayvi Malkus, in the case of shogegim, forget it. There's no Kim Levi Rabin. Now, what makes this guy into a shogeg? He's a no good mazer. There are two Avim, and there's Asra, and he sent the Zrika out, and he's Chayah. So, why is that called a shogeg? So, the answer is, it's a shogeg in the sense that there's no chiv misa. Sorry, there's no chiv malchus befall at the moment in the akira. That makes him into a shogeg. Now let's see how he works it out according to Tosis. Ah, well, she does not Tosis the bottom line on page Kuf Tzadi Beis. The din akira tzorach anochu the cave on the efshal anochu below akira. Right, That's pretty much a quote from Tosfos. Tosfos used the word Akbah because he's talking about the stealing of a kiss. And now we're on the top of Kuf Tzadi Gimel. Is therefore me'ahi shaita, right? We're going to. This is the silly putty theory. We're expanding the elastic expanding of the time period, right? Like we're expanding the Tokidei Dibur. Is me'ahi shaita from the moment of the Akira, aschale meleches melacha. I guess he means by malacha, meaning the he's going to be chayv for otzah, and that malacha begins with akira. Why? Because it's the efshar below. Not the ra'ah, that it's part of the ma'isa machayv, but rather because that's when we started the malacha. I called it oskim v'yoso inyan. I don't know. To me, that pedagogically, that sheds a light, makes it a lot easier to understand Tosfos the way he presents it. He says, Lachain, chiyuv mama, right? The chiyuv mama by ripping someone's shirayim took place between the akira and the hanocha.
Yeah.
Is that's considered as if he ripped the shirayim of his friend at what moment?
Same time.
At the moment of hanocha. Do you hear this, Yosef? At the moment of hanocha.
Yeah.
How can you tell me moment of hanocha? He ripped the shirayim before the hanocha, but that's the magic here of akira l'tzorach hanocha, that if it's the efshem lokach, then we expand the time period.
Nechshav.
You know, Einstein would have a blast with this. You know, the theory. No, it's you know, there are dimensions of time that exist in the halachic universe that do not reflect reality in the way we know it. You know, it's a relativity theory. I'm going to take two actions that took place one after the other, and I'm going to say, no, they took place simultaneously. What, are you an idiot? They didn't take place simultaneously. Who are you trying to fool? But that's what happens when you enter into the halachic universe. And therefore, we don't... All we need to say is that the Chiv Mamon took place simultaneously with the Chiv Miso, or in this case the Chiv Malkus, and again he's amazed over here, and therefore we'd apply Kim Leib the Rabbi. Okay, that's Nafkamina number one. I think it gets a little easier at this point. Now he's up to Nafkamina number two. Okay, this is Reish Chaf Tes, which is on the left column. So again, we would offer you a another shiur for another hour to fill in all the parts that I'm skipping here, but you know you'll have to either do that on your own, or maybe we'll look it over again. But I think more important is the second nafkamina. Okay. So I've also, you know, I'm just going to, if you don't mind, I'm going to make life a little easier for myself. You read the text while he has a summary of this at the beginning of the Sefer. We should really photocopy this. I just didn't get a chance. So I'm going to read the summary, and just because I'm interested more in the concepts here than the text, you follow me inside. It's pretty much verbatim what you'll see inside. He says the following. I'm reading Akira Tzorch Hanoch B'chayve Mises Shogigin B'ofen She'ena Maisa She'betchila Chelet Miguf HaAver. So let's take the case of Chelet, right? So what happens? He puts the Chelet into his mouth and then he swallows it, but he's not aware of the fact that it's Chelet. But I don't know, you get into Misasik here, but Bechalavra, I don't know. Don't ask me any questions until I have the mathematics. Is that okay? So again, what happens over here? So we're talking about a case of a shogeg on a chiv misa, but we don't have the tchilas avera. What's the case? Just one second. Chayv misa in the ofen she'ena maisa she'betchila. Chelek miguf haavera. So the original ma'isa, which we want to use to kick off the kimlei of the rab mine, that original ma'isa is not a part of the guf haavera. Oh, so if we go with the ra'ah, right? The ra'ah wants it to be part of the guf haavera. But if we go with Tosis, our only barometer, our only yardstick, our only condition is that it has to be yefshar. Okay, if we get the case down, it'll be a lot easier. So in other words, until now we've been talking about a person who eats chelev b'mezid, or a person who's menasech yayin lavodazor b'mezid. Now he wants to change one you know, one of the screws, one of one of the parts of the scenario, and he's not aware of the fact that it's chaylev. He's not aware of the fact that it's an avodah zarah. So now he's a shogeg. So he begins his chaylev with the hachnas lepiv. He begins his nisuch with hagbah. And then he rips shirayim shel chavero. And the whole case is a case of shogeg. Would he pay damages or would he not pay damages? So let's see if we can figure this out. According to Tosfos, it's the efshar, correct? So what are we doing? We're expanding. So l'chori should, according to the Ra'or, we're not talking about part of the chiyuv. So wait a minute. Is it the same as what we said before? As before in the case of Chayvei Malkius, in Akir Tzorch Hanocha, we said that it was like a shogeg because he's not immediately chayov. And therefore, according to the Ra'or, we would not apply Kidmuli Rami, which means he'd be chayov. Here we're saying the exact same thing. Am I right? That according to the Ra'or, we cannot apply Kim Levi Rami. Let's see if I got this right. He says the following: L'shitas Atosvis Gam B'Kai Gavna Amrinon Akira Tzorch Hanocha. Why? Because in order to achieve the Blia, he needs Hachnas L'Piv. In order to achieve the Nisuch, he needs Hagbah. Aval L'shitas Ra'or. The heichad de lo efshar, havili kechelek michiyuv hamisa. We have to upgrade it to part of the ma'isa machayev. Yeishlom kolze shuv b'meizid. Is then it's considered part of the chiyuv misa, but not in the case of shogeg. Wow, this is pretty way out. Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying that according to Ra'or, in order to activate Kimlei Ramani, you have to get to the point of Tchilas Chiyuv Misa, but you can't say that in the case of a Shogeg. Yeah. So our Sugya, from beginning to end, according to Ra'or, is talking about Mezid. Again, we're not denying Tanit Bechizkiah, that Chayvei Misa Shogegin are Potur. But what we're saying here is that the principle of Akir Tzorch Hanocha, which would mean that the Akir is considered Tchilas Chiyuv Misa, that doesn't apply in the case of a Shogeg. So when we say, according to Tana Bechizkiah, that Chayvei Misa Shogegin are Pturim in HaTashlumin, that's because he's involved in the Chiyuv Misa at the same time he's involved in the Chiyuv Mamon. But if he's involved in the Chiyuv, if he's involved in a preliminary action, which is going to lead up to the Chiyuv Misa, then we cannot, according to Ra'or, we could not apply the principle of what? Of Tanit Bechizkiah. Why? Because we need, according to Ra'or, that the Akira, the first action, is part of the Ma'isa Machayev. So later on, when we put him to death, he's Chayev for the first action as an integral part of the Aver, but we can't say that in the case of a Shogeg. Mashenken, according to Tosvis, we will apply Akira Tzorch Hanocha. Shreyachiv Misa Kvar Hischil B'Akira V'Nimshach Ad Hanocha. So again, what's the difference here between the Ra'or? Oh, the Ra'or says we have to integrate it into the Ma'isa Machayev, and that we can't do when we look at the Misa and say that an action that he implemented B'Shogeg is part of the Chiyuv Misa. But according to Tosfos, all we need is to say EFshar, and once it's EFshar, we can begin the Chiyuv at that moment in time when he starts the first Pa'ula, which is absolutely critical. So now you'll tell me, but he's a Shogeg. So the answer is Chayvei Misa Shogeg. In other words, according to Tosfos, we have fulfilled all our conditions, right? Because Tosfos was not impressed by the Rabbah. Tosfos didn't need that we upgrade the first pa'ula to part of the ma'isa machayev and say he's chayev misa for that first pa'ula. Tosfos doesn't, he drops that condition. That's the Ra'or. Hence, even in the case of shogeg, we can apply kibleiv the ramine, and we're talking about chayev misa shogeg. The only issue is the be'inna issue. Is it be'inna? So that's what Tosfos says, that if it's the efshar, then we have this expanded, this umbrella of time. So that's his second nafkamina. Now he gets his third nafkamina. In motzi sakim mirshus hayochel mirshus haravim v'kara shirayim kodem hanocha. So he's carrying a knife. He's carrying a knife, and he rips shirayim before the hanocha. Well, whatever the hanocha means, so he stops dead in his tracks, or he puts the sakin down.
Yeah, but where was he when he met his kara shirayim? Was he in? Or he crossed into
It doesn't matter. If he started Rishu Sayyoch, maybe he was still Rishu Sayyoch, or maybe he already crossed into Rishu Sarabim. Whatever it is, it's before the Anocha, correct? Mm-hmm. So if it's before the Anocha, we want to apply the principle of what? Of Akirat Zorach Anocha. Okay. That covers the whole span of time. So what's different about this case? And in this case, he's not involved in the Chiyuv Misa. Why not? Wow. This is pretty wild. He's saying that there are two malachas of Hotzah. One is called Hotzah Mirshusa Shusa, the other is called Mavir Dalad Amis. He says in the case of Mavrid Dalad Amis, he's chayev for carrying something. In other words, there are three parts of the machayev. When we put him to death, he's chayev for A, B, plus C. He's chayev for the Akira, he's chayev for the Avara, and he's chayev for the Anocha. Not so in the case of Motzi Mishus Lushus. In the case of Motzi Mishus Lushus, he's chayev for two things, for the Akira and the Anocha. The travel in between has nothing to do with anything. Totally irrelevant. Mavir means you're carrying something. Motzi means you're relocating something. Oh, so he says that Afkamina is whether or not he would be potter for the shirayim that he ripped in between the Akira and the Anoch. In the case of Mavir, since we're saying that every moment that he's carrying it, he's chayev, that's all part of the Maisim HaChayev. So in the Ra'az perspective, which means that we have to call it the integral part of the Machayev, then in the case of Mavrid Dalad Amis, when he's carrying this knife, every moment that he's carrying the knife for four Amis or Shizram is part of the Maisim HaChayev. He's going to be chayev misim for the actual carry. So now we have a simultaneity between the ripping of the Shirayim and the Melechas Avara. But what would the Ra'as say if he's carrying a knife from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and while he's carrying it, he rips Shirayim Shel Chavera? So now, there's no simultaneity, neither with the Maisa Machayev of Akira, nor with the Maisa Machayev of Anocha, who's right in between. Only in the case of Mavir Dalan Amos, would the Ra'ah be able to say, again, we're not talking about Zrika now, we're talking about carrying a Sakin, right? That was the Gemara's Nafkamina. So in carrying the Sakin, if it's Havaris Dalad Amis, then you could achieve your goal of Be'idna, of simultaneity. Why? Because every moment that you're carrying it, you are actually involved in the Maisa Machayev. The carrying it itself is the Maisa Machayev. Because from the beginning of Dalad, you have to carry it till the end of Dalad. Masha'enkin, in the case of Hotzah, anything that he does in the middle, you know, is totally irrelevant to the Chiv. He's not chayev for the actual carrying of it. He's chayev for being ogred in one Rishus and placing it down in another Rishus.
What if he works more than Dalad before he goes Anach?
He what?
He cuts the Shirayim after he's already completed Dalad, but he didn't do Anach yet.
That's an excellent question. Take a look. He says, "Bezorek Dalad Amis or Mavir Dalad Amis, Kol Dalad Amis in Gorme Achiyuv." Oh, he says it. You didn't cheat.
No, I
didn't cheat.
No, I'm just joking. I don't have that.
No, you have it in the original. Actually, I'm giving you the sequel. You know, only because of time, but. He says, "Im kein hefesh evi vav amis b'shus aravim v'karashirayim ba'ama chamishes oshishes." In such a case, Yischayev Tashlum. Why? Because the sixth and seventh is not part of the Maisa Machayev. He's chayev for the first four. Again, we have to wait for the Anocha, because he's not going to be chayev until he puts it down. But who cares when that Anocha places? any of the carrying in between, as Yechiel says very well, is not part of the Maisa Machayev, and therefore there's no Kimli Rabine, he has to pay Tashlum. So at one point, this would be unbelievable if I asked this on a Fahir, you know, if a student wanted to get Smicha, and I would ask him the following question, you know, when is he Chayev for Kriya Shiraim Shel Chavero, when he's Mamre Dalet Amos, and we're going according to the Ra'ah, does it make any difference whether he ripped the shirayim during the first 4 hours or after the first 4 hours? And if he can give me the answer, we'll give him smicha on the spot. Right? He says, the ain't shnei ha'amos elu mi ma'isa machayim. Now, wait a minute. I just want to figure, how many minutes do we have? We have 5 minutes. How does this fit into Tosfos? Okay, that this is all according to the Ra'ah. Right? Oh, so now he says, what about according to... according to the sheet of Tosfos, let me just see if I can. Avol sheet of Tosfos. Now we're going back to the case of Motzi, right? Motzi, because he picks up the sakin in one rishus, puts it down in another rishus, and he rips the shirayim in the middle. Gamakai gavnu potur. Why? Because it's a time element, right? Well, what do we want to get according to Tosfos? We want to get to Meshech Hazman. We want to create this Tokedei Dibur. And the Tokedei Dibur begins when he starts the Malach and he ends the Malach and the entire process. I mean, you'll have to analyze that, but that's what he's claiming here. Aval Shita Satosis Gambakai Gabna Potu, Shere Achiv Misa Kvar Hischil Mishas Akira, Vinimshach Ad Shas Hanocha. Let me just think about it.
There's no Maisa. There's only Zman.
It's a time. Everything depends on time here. So what we do is we go back to the first action. This is bothering me a little bit because could you imagine if a man picks up, let's say, picks up a barrel of wine, right? And he decides to pour it for Avodah Zarah a month later.
He's holding it for a month.
So if he rips anyone's shirayim for that month, he's going to be potter? That's a good deal if you want to be open Avodah Zarah. Again, at the end you're going to die anyway, so what difference does it make? But, in other words, what I'm asking is the following. I mean, he's opening up a Pandora's box here, if I understand it correctly, because he's looking at Pa'ula X, which is necessary in order for him to be chayav with Pula Y, and now he's setting up a Meshech Hazman for Kimlei D'Rabbinei from the time Pula X until Pula Y when he's chayav. I mean, Ein L'Davar Sof. I mean, can we expand that endlessly? I don't know. I'm missing one piece of the puzzle. I believe that I'll try to figure this out between today and tomorrow. But in any event, conceptually, I understand what he's saying. I just don't know how to engineer it before. But conceptually, what he's saying is that according to Tosfos, we take time T1 when he did the act of the Efshah below, and then we time to time T3, we'll call it, to the, right? T3 when he finishes that Chiv Misa, and time T2 is any of the span in the middle, and that's considered Tokedei Dibur of the Chiv once he initiated it with the Efshah, with the first Pa'ula. But according to the Ra'ah, here's where we're going to make a difference between Hotzah and Havara. Whereas in the case of Hotzah, any carrying in the middle is totally superfluous to the Chiyuv, because the Chiyuv is not for the carrying it and taking it in his hands. It's the Chiyuv is for, what's the word I'm looking for? Uprooting. It's for the chiv, is for the uprooting the object in one rishus and replacing the object in another rishus, setting it down in another rishus. Therefore, anything in between is not be'idna, right? Because again, the Ra'ah is working with be'idna. The Ra'ah is just being mechadish that akirat tzorach hanocha means that since the akir is part of the ma'isa mechayev, that's considered be'idna. Even though the chiv befall is going to take place at the time of hanocha, but in the middle, any of that carrying is certainly not part of the Maisa Machayev, so there's no Be'idna over here. Masha'en came in the case of Mavir Daladamas Rishus Aravim. There he's Chayev not just for the Akira and the Hanocha, but for the entire Havara. Again, not the entire Havara, but up until Daladamas. And up until that point, he's Chayev for the Havara's Daladamas, and therefore that's called Be'idna. Alright, Rabbosai, we'll stop here. Just a piece of research here, I'm telling you. How many nafkimisa? We have three, right? Yeah, three.
Why is it enough?
We'll see if we'll get four. Yeah, wait, who's... I don't know if I can hear two. I don't think I can hear any voices now. I'm so exhausted.
I'm
another two shiur. Yeah, what?
Do you need to have two hasros?
No, I don't think so. You're reminding me of a sugya called Bidlo Velo Bidlo. You familiar with that sugya? Kimo Bidlo Velo Bidlo. But I think the Gemara says you only need one asra. The question is, when do you get the asra? At the time of Bidlo Essay or at the time of the Aver Salah? So let's say, for example, what's the case? Shiluach HaKan, right? So what's the case? So, who holds Bidlo Velo Bidlo? I think that's Rabbi Yochanan. Let's assume it's Rabbi Yochanan. It's on Marcus Tesfot. So the Avera for Malchus has to have two parts to it. He has to take the mother bird and then he has to shech the mother bird. That's called Bidlo. Right, Bidlo. So the question is, when would Asra be? Would Asra be when he took the mother bird or when he shechted the mother bird? Because what's the real Machayev? The real Machayev is the Bidlo Essay, or the Bidlo Essay is just a condition, but he's really high for taking the mother. And then Afghanis mean when to give Asra, but nobody says that he needs two Asros. As far as I know, Lenny, there's no such thing as two Asros. I'm not such a bucky in shots, but I don't think that such a thing exists in the world of Allah. But what, again, let's get back. So how do you want to plug that in here?
As regards the Nisach Hayayim.
Yeah. Right. Clearly the Asra would have to be before the Nisa. But the Chiddush is that even though the Asra is before the Nisa, if you rip someone's Shirayim before that moment, you would be part of it. We'd apply Kimla. Why? Because there's a process that began with Agbah, and it's Kol El HaKol. It incorporates the entire period of time.
You need the Asra before the Nisa.
But that's what would have to be for the Avera Machayev.
Which means after the Hakbah.
Way after the Hakbah. Yeah, when he's ready for the
Nisa.
Yeah, absolutely. That's for sure. In other words, in terms of Hasra, we should not get confused. You know, this concept of Efshe below would have no impact whatsoever on Hasra. Whereas that if we're working with the Ra'ah, that's a whole different story, because the Ra'ah is talking about the Ma'isa Machayev, and then Adarav, that impacts directly on the Hasra. Okay, Shkara.